The next article is written by Peter Clark, and it recalls the Battle of Britain 80 years ago. And the article is prefaced by some notes from the editor. September the 15th, 2020, marks the 80th anniversary of the battle in the air that turned the tide against the Nazis in the Second World War. This day in Benson was also going to mark the reopening of the Crown Inn. However, there has been a delay because of road closures, and it is now planned to open on October the 2nd. But to mark the Battle of Britain anniversary, we are reprinting the article from Peter Clark, which previously appeared in a past issue of the BB. And Peter Clark writes, "I first wrote this article for the Benson Bulletin some years back, but it was repeated later as serving in the RAF changed at the station, or drome as it was known in my childhood. Sergeant Dennis Noble, RAF, was 20 years old when he was posted to RAF Tangmere on the Sussex coast on the 3rd of August 1940. They finally buried him in his hometown of Redford on the 22nd of January in 1996 with full military honours. This is his tale, though some may have seen some details in the national press at the time. Dennis went to Tangmere as a trained hurricane pilot. Trained meant that he had precisely 12 and a half hours flying hurricanes in his logbook before he was precipitated directly into the Battle of Britain. He was thereafter, until he died 27 days later, up over the Sussex coast in action either twice or three times daily. In that time he recorded one enemy kill and a second possible. At 11:30 hours on the 30th of August, he scrambled in Hurricane P1379, and minutes later was above Hove and involved in a dogfight with Messerschmitts. His squadron leader saw him hit and veering off. A then 11-year-old boy to whom I spoke recently takes up the story. It was still the school summer holidays. I was out with my father watching just another dogfight. We could see the contrails some 3,000 feet above us. Shrapnel was raining down all over the place. I suddenly saw a hurricane coming straight down at a tremendous speed, making no attempt to alter direction. I heard the impact a few streets away. When I pedalled down on my bike that afternoon, I remember being told they'd got the pilot out, but I knew that couldn't possibly have been true, or at least not alive. In fact, we now know that they recovered two hands, on one of which was a ring identifying Dennis Noble, as well as part of his skull. This was in the middle of the Battle of Britain, and the most compassionate action that could have been taken then was to take these few remains and bury them in a weighted coffin in his hometown, surrounded by his mourning family. And that might have been that. Except that Keith Arnold, an enthusiastic RAF archaeologist, in 1996 applied for permission to dig out the plane still embedded under the pavement of Woodhouse Road, Hove. Records show that Dennis had been buried in 1940, so that there was no reason why the RAF and other authorities should not agree, which they did. Only when they began digging did they realise they were in fact dealing with a war grave. After consideration, a coroner gave permission to continue, but now everyone acting with the respect due. To Precy, a long, fascinating, if sad story, the entire remainder of his skeleton was later assembled at the mortuary. His maps of southern England and his flying jacket were all recovered. The Rolls-Royce engine was lifted out of its final resting place some 15 feet below the pavement, and 20 bullet holes were counted in his still-packed parachute. And how do I know all this? Well, I've already written that it was the summer holidays. And as a three-year-old, I was holidaying with my sister and my grandparents in Benson, which was just as well, for poor Dennis Noble's precipitous arrival in Woodhouse Road, Hove, was just a few yards from where I then lived with my parents. The house was unoccupied, but the roof and furnishing damaged. My sister and I became refugees in Benson overnight, at an address which has remained my permanent address ever since, 73 years later. Dennis Noble was no Douglas Bader. Except for the unusual tale above, almost everyone had forgotten him. Now he has had a proper burial. The tale, for me at least, serves to bring into much sharper focus a piece of the jigsaw of that story for which we should all be grateful. Pove, Woodhouse Road, Hove, Ad Astra. We can all give our thanks to Dennis Noble, but in my case, a little extra thank you. Thanks to him, I live in Benson.